Tonight we're going to continue our series titled Heroes. We've been on this, I feel like we've been on it since November. I don't think it's been that long, but I knew it would take us into summer when I started it. I said that because as you go through the Old Testament and look at heroes of the faith, if you will, this just you can go on, and God is teaching us so much. We've been on Joseph now. This will be the sixth installment of looking at the life of Joseph. And Joseph had so many trials, so many tests that he went through. And you know, life is full of trials and tests. How many know that? It just is. That is life. It's life. And God uses those things really to strengthen us, to encourage us. And tonight I want to talk about perseverance, but let's read a scripture. We started off every one of our Joseph series with this scripture, Genesis 37:5. It says, "Now Joseph had a dream." How many have ever had a dream? How many have had a vision from God? And it said he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. I like starting with that because there is going to be opposition. Whatever God has spoken to you through his word, through the Spirit of God, inside witness, or maybe someone's had a word of wisdom, knowledge, prophecy over you that bears witness with the word of God, there will be people. And remember, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness. But there will be opposition to that dream. There will be whatever will come. And so we need a prophetic word and we need a literal word. And we've talked about that throughout the course of the series. And we've looked at Joseph, how God had to deal with pride in Joseph's life. And we found out the root of pride, of course, is insecurity. And it's really hard to fulfill the dreams and the purposes and visions that God has for your life if you're insecure. And how many have ever struggled with insecurity? Be honest tonight. How many are too insecure to lift their hand? You know, insecure. It's true. I mean, insecurity, it's terrible. I mean, I had a lunch with a friend of mine today, and he's quite a bit taller than me, and he's making a joke. I was talking about how I had my pool, and I was going to clean it up, get it ready for summer and all that this weekend, and he said, "Well, you only need a wading pool, right?" He says to me, because I'm shorter than him. Like, he bought lunch after that. I told him, "It's on you." But he said, you know, it's so funny, he said, because he had a really short friend. Shorter than me, I guess, but really short. And so this person was always like, you know, he thought, well, you know, everybody loves being tall. And he said, you know, I've always wanted to be shorter than I am. I mean, why? You know, because we're just insecure in who we are. I mean, I've never noticed that. We just are. And so you got to deal with that. You got to come to terms with you are who you are. All right. And really God deals with that. We looked at the principle of the pit. And of course, we found out in the pit, the enemy will lie to you. You know, the devil is the one who will kick sand in your face when you're down. It's not God. God doesn't give up on us. God's always for us, never against us. And then we found out the principle of good stewardship. And really, good stewardship or management, if you will, stewardship we use in churches. You don't use a lot in the world too much anymore. But stewardship, really, it's more than money. We think of stewardship. We think of finances, which is part of it. But I like to look at it this way. How well am I stewarding the presence of God? How well am I stewarding the promises of God? Because you can quote scripture all day long and you can give money all day long, but if you're not treasuring and protecting and valuing the presence of God in your life, you're not going to have really true prosperity. So all those things. And then last week we looked at the principle of purity or holiness, and tonight we want to look at perseverance. Genesis 39:11. It says, "But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she," this is Potiphar's wife, "caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.'" Again, we looked at this a little bit last week because Joseph said no. He knew how to keep himself holy and pure. It said, "And so it was, when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and I cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused." Verse 20, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison." Let's pray. Father, tonight I ask that your Holy Spirit would come. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach us, minister to us individually, encourage us, and help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on you. We know it can be so hard at times. So tonight I just ask, Lord, that you would do with your Holy Spirit what I cannot do in myself, and that's to minister to each person in their need and to strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. So we read the story. He gets thrown in prison, something he didn't do. And I wrote in my notes in big letters, "This sucks." And I'm not trying to offend anybody. It does. Here, Joseph, you know, he had a dream from God. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. We looked at the story. He goes, he's sold to Potiphar. He's just faithful, Potiphar, so much. Potiphar doesn't even have to worry about the food that he's eating. Everything is taken care of. He just needs to sit down at his table and eat and get fatter and fatter. And so Joseph is given all of this liberty, if you will, and this authority. And then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses Joseph of wanting to lie with her or make a sexual advance towards her when she was the one who had, the Bible says, she cast longing eyes on him. And so what happens is he gets thrown in prison for something that he did not do. But let me assure you, God will get the glory. And I don't know what you're facing tonight, what you're going through, but be assured of this. God will get the glory. Say, God will get the glory. In whatever you're going through, if you allow God to work in you, to will and to do his good pleasure, one translation says, giving us the desire and the power to do the things that please him. Be assured that God will get the glory in your life. Let's be clear that obedience to God's word is vital, and we've talked about this throughout this series and other places, that obedience to God's word is vital to walking in the blessings of God. Obedience to God is no guarantee that challenging things will not happen to us. You can be obedient right smack dab in the will of God and have things happen that are challenging. Can I get an amen from anybody who's lived a little, all right? That doesn't mean, because our first thing we want, the enemy loves for you to do this, and our flesh is just right on the bandwagon. When we face something challenging, right away we think God has forgotten us. Come on, don't you feel that way? But you know, you can't allow that to take root in your life. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Jesus said, lo, I am with you even to the end of this age. Let me assure you, the end of this age is not over. How do I know? Jesus hasn't returned yet. So he is not going to leave us. He's with us. That's what Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit teaching us, guiding us, leading us, strengthening us, encouraging us. But see, trials are important because if you and I are going to grow in our relationship with God and have the sure victory that he wants us to have, then our relationship with God has got to be strengthened. And the way, the really ultimate way that our relationship with God is strengthened is through trials. So here's the thing that you're going to have to understand tonight. We got to get to a place where we know, okay, here comes the trial. Now, we may not like the trial, and trials are not fun, okay? They suck. But we need to say, okay, trial coming. Here we go. All right, I'm ready. Because we know what's on the other side. It says in Hebrews 12, it says that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, because he saw beyond that. You need to see beyond it. No, God wants to fulfill your desires, your dreams. Let's read 2 Peter 1:5. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and we're going to talk about perseverance tonight, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now, we could go on, and we're not going to use this necessarily as a text tonight. I just wanted to throw this in because it talks about perseverance, and all of these things are important in our walk with God. But understand, we need to get perseverance for God to be able to establish hope in our lives. And that's where we're going with this. Perseverance, and you can only get perseverance by going through things and coming out the other side and achieving success. See, if we never develop character, we will not know God deeply. If we don't know God deeply, we will not hear his voice clearly. This is good. And this is how we have to view, and your flesh is crying out, I don't like trials any more than you do, okay? But we have to say, okay, I know right now that God is going to build me up. He's going to strengthen me. My flesh may be throwing a temper tantrum, but I will spank it and send it to bed. Hello, somebody. All right? But I know that God wants me to hear his voice clearer because he never has anything but good for me. Are you with me? So we have to settle that. So because I'm facing this trial, then I know God has something good on the other side. Therefore, I need to work on hearing his voice clearly because that will deepen my relationship with him. Do you understand? All right? If we don't know his voice, we will not practice patience. Now, sometimes we think patience and perseverance, because we don't use the words a lot, we kind of think they're the same. They're not. Patience means to accept or to tolerate. Patience means to accept or tolerate. And we need both of these, by the way. But without patience, we will not live surrendered lives. See, you need to be patient to allow the work of God in you and to live a surrendered life. But you need perseverance to be able to be steadfast and to achieve success. That's what perseverance means, to be steadfast and achieve success. All right? For instance, let me just say this. When I was in high school, I played football. All right? We would be patiently enduring the ride to our opponent's field. And you just wait, and you got all this nervous energy. And you get there, but then you need to persevere on the football field to have success. Does that help you understand? So you're patient, and we need patience to settle ourselves, to wait on the Lord, if you will, but perseverance is an action, okay? Patience is an action of sorts, but it's more resting, calming, waiting, being passive, where perseverance is pushing ahead to gain success. All right, and we need to persevere if we're going to, because I've seen people, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, you got the patience part, but you got to persevere, my friend. Because if you're just waiting on the Lord, God is saying, I'm giving you my word. I've given you my Holy Spirit. Now go, do. All right? So perseverance is extremely important. We know that obedience reaps reward. However, we see in the example of Joseph walking in obedience to the Lord, yet the blessings of God seem to be eluding him. That's the word I'm looking for. So here's what Jesus said in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will, say, I will.
I will.
Look at the person next to you and say, you will. That was slow. All right. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So Jesus said, it's going to be rough. You'll have trials and sorrow, but take heart, because he has overcome the world. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, say, I do them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fail or fall. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, say, I do not not do them. I am not an English teacher, but I'm trying to make a point. All right. Because I just failed my test. All right, that's right. He said, it will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So we see here in both instances, the rain descends, the floods come, the winds blow, and they beat on that house. One stands, one does not. All right? So trials come on the good, on whoever. Trials come. Say, trials come. Say, trials go. Say, I stand. All right? And we need to endure. And then it says, endurance, perseverance, same thing. And we should note here in Joseph's example, that even though prison was not a nice place to be, understand that the time he lived, the sentence for rape was death. He could have been, killed for what he was accused of. Because I believe this with all my heart, we can face tribulation and bad times, but we still have God's favor. And Trisha, we have said this for years, and it helps us. If it gets bad, because it gets bad sometimes, I just say to Trish, my beautiful wife here, 25 years, by the way, yesterday. Honey, stand up. Come on up here. 25 years of sheer bliss for Trish. No, I don't know how she's done it. It's the Holy Ghost. But it's funny, so we put this picture on Facebook. We took a picture out outside the office, and we put it on, like, the before and after picture, 25 years ago and now. And we're getting all these comments on Facebook, and people check. And all I have is guys saying, she's still more beautiful than you, and all these kinds of things. People say, I didn't even recognize you and all this. And they're just telling me how beautiful he is, because she gets more beautiful, I get older. I don't know how that happens. But somehow, we've made it. And, so 25 years yesterday. Thanks for coming up here. Here's to the next 25. But we say this, and I say, it stinks right now, but I know this, that it is not as bad as it would be if we weren't trusting God. I mean, and you got to believe that. You have to. If not, you will lose all sanity. And then I don't even know why you come to church. You might as well just go out to eat dinner and go back home. Because really, we've got to believe that God works out all things for my good. Because I love him and because I'm called according to his purposes. Right, Renee? That's her life scripture. That's why I kind of quoted it my way, like Frank Sinatra. Romans 8:28. According to the Bible, the only way to get perseverance is through tribulation, all right? The only way to persevere is to persevere. These nuggets of wisdom are just, I know that they're captivating tonight. But it's true. And we got to get this. Let me read a scripture, Romans 5:3. I love this scripture. And we're going to talk about hope tonight. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. There's our word. And perseverance, character, hope. Say hope. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now in the New Living Testament, it says to rejoice. It said glory in tribulations. It said rejoice in tribulations, which means to wish or desire. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? And in the New Living Testament, the first, I agree 100%. Yes, I do. In the first publication of the New Living Testament, or translation, the first publication, it says good for us. So what it says is to rejoice in tribulations, knowing that they are good for us. That's what it says. Now, they've done another translation since the original New Living Translation, but I like that first publication for some things. I'm glad they update it and all those things, and I love all different translations of the Bible. But I love what it says there. We should rejoice in tribulations knowing that they're good for us. And you need to realize, if you don't settle that, you won't make it, because tribulations are not fun. So you need to realize that they're good for us. See, trials produce perseverance or endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. You can't even have hope unless you persevered and believe God for it. Hope is something that you acquire. And we don't hope like those that are in the world. Most people say hope and they're just wishing that it probably won't work out, but I hope it does. That's not hope. The hope we're talking about is something that's shed abroad in our hearts by the love of God. So the hope that God gives us is rooted in love. Remember how we talked about perseverance, building character, helps us to hear God's voice more clearly? We're getting hope knowing that he's got this. My hope is that he's got this. And we'll share a scripture with you as we get through this, that hope is an anchor for our souls. Knowing God has it. It's a confident hope. It's not a wishing hope. Are you with me? Okay, because the world uses the word hope all the time, and that's not the same as what we see here. I wish I could tell you that I could do one thing and magically all of your dreams and desires would come to pass, but that's not true. I just said this to Trish yesterday, and we were kind of reminiscing on your 25th anniversary. You think, oh my gosh, where did the time go? Oh my goodness. And maybe some of you have been married longer and all that, but 25 years is like, whoa. We feel like we were just kids yesterday, but Trish still is, but, you know. I don't mean that in a bad way. She just got so much energy and all that. But 25 years, and then I start to think of our children who are now adults. You know, our youngest is 19, Selena up front here, 22, and almost 22, and our oldest son, Tony's 24. And when you pray over them and you see that God, they're getting into their lives, don't you? And as parents, those of you who have adult parents, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. You just are adult kids. Hopefully you have adult parents. If not, kids, you are in trouble because your parents are kids. All right. Adult children. Backwards. You'll know what I'm saying because what you do is you just think, you know what? I wish, because we're kind of thinking of our 25 years and what we've gone through, I wish they could just go from where they are and all of a sudden just be, let's say, 50, successful, their kids are growing up and everything's cool. You know, you just wish that could, bam. But you know what? That can't happen. It shouldn't happen. Matter of fact, if it did happen, they would not be successful. You see what I'm saying? We want to remove all those things. And I do that often. My kids go through something, and I'm like, oh. And Holy Spirit assures me this is good for them. He assures me that this is how they will have fruit of their relationship with Him. because, you know, we just want things to go because we don't like stuff like that. But I'm telling you, those are the things that build character. When you look at anybody who has succeeded, has had some level of success living their a Christian life with God, it's because of things that they've gone through, endured, and come out the other side successful. It's not because they didn't. So many times we think, well, if I just had their life, it'd be easy. Well, you don't have their life, and you have no idea what you're talking about, so just shut your mouth. I mean, it's the truth. But we think that. We think that. You don't know. You have no idea. All right? Very few people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And even if something is given to them, they got to maintain it. Hello, somebody. But we love to look at people and say, well, if I just had what they had, well, then why don't you get busy? Start going through some stuff with a good attitude. Hello. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How many say, ooh, 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 hello. You like that, right? And the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, we don't want to read that part. Being conformed to his death. See, the only way that we can have power of a resurrection is for there to be a death first. Trials cause us to die to ourselves. That way we can only trust God. Does that make sense to you tonight? See, that's why trials are important. In fact, trials are necessary. They really are. All right? Jesus said a grain of wheat must die for it to produce a harvest. I don't have this. You didn't have this to load up there, Zach, but would you look up in the New King James, John 12:24? New King James, John 12:24. I want to read verse 24 through 26. I reference it here in my notes, but I want to read that scripture, John 12:24 through 26, New King James Version. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Now understand, Jesus is talking about himself, but listen what he's telling you. He is teaching us a principle here. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone, are you in anyone tonight? Okay, this is for you then. Get ready. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Jesus is about to die. They've already anointed him with perfume. There you get in the picture. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. That's what he said. If Jesus went through trials, and he did, go through trials. You and I will. He says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. See, the thing is, when we go through trials, you see this theme all through the New Testament. Jesus taught this way, that when we go through trials, that's when the Spirit of God and Father God come and abide with us and make their home with us. And so what happens is when you go through a trial, you need to just say, okay, I'm ready now to get closer to my Father. When I go through this trial, I will get closer to my Father. Because that's what the result is going to be. When a grain of wheat dies, falls to the ground, it's going to bear fruit. And here's the thing. God is not just concerned with your comfort, but with the same comfort that you're comforted with, tells us in Corinthians chapter 3. With the same comfort that you're comforted with, you are to go and comfort others. See, remember, your life is not yours. And so you get to go through trials so you can help other people when they go through trials. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We must learn to allow the testing of our faith. It's the only way for us to grow spiritually. Remember, patience is waiting with contentment. Waiting with contentment. And then taking perseverance and pushing through to success. Here's what happens. You see, so many people will come forward. Now, we didn't open up the altars tonight. We're going to open them towards the end and pray for you if you need some prayer. But a lot of times we do that during our music. And people come forward. And so many times, not every time, and you know, if this is you, I'm not thinking of anyone. This is lots of people we've prayed for over the years, okay? So this is, I'm not singling out people here. I'm just saying it's how it is. We come and so many times we pray, and really, the position we're taking is we want prayer that whatever I'm going through would stop. Now, if you're believing God for healing, of course, we're going to believe God for healing. By his stripes, you are healed. But so many times it's a trial, it's a test, and we just want it to change or we want it to stop. Listen, we can't pray, and if we did pray for it, it's not going to get answered anyway. what we've got to learn, if we want to be mature, is we got to realize we have this trial. Because here's what happens. God, in a trial, listen carefully, this is for somebody, is going to reveal something about you to you. When we go through a trial, what we normally do is we find all kinds of things about everybody else we don't like. Hello. But if you're going through a trial, if something is bugging you, there's a bug in you. It's true. Okay, somebody doesn't believe me. Zach, get ready. I got to find a scripture here because I want to make sure people see this. James, see if I can find this on my, I think it's chapter 4. Let me look. Yep, James chapter 4, New King James Version. James chapter 4, New King James, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. We're going to stop right there because we could keep going and teach on so many things. But the point I want us to see there, he says, wars, fights, and things inside of us come from inside of us. It's something in us we're not obtaining. Who knows what it could be? It could be as simple as so many of us go through life trying to gain the, not favor, but approval. The approval of our parents. The approval of, who knows, of God, ultimately. That is the most common. I see this so much with people, all right? I've had to deal with it myself. Still have to deal with it. So when things are happening on the inside, you got to realize we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness that want to keep that bad attitude in you so that you can have that bad attitude the rest of your life and then pass it on to your children, and then your children can have it worse than you did, and then they can pass it on to their children, and then their children can have it worse than all of you did. Hello, somebody. It's time for it to stop. All right? That's maturity. That's what maturity, this is spiritual maturity. This is our Wednesday group, so we can talk about this. If you want to be spiritually mature, you got to realize the test you're going through is bread. We need to eat it to get strong. Does that make sense to you? All right? Patience and perseverance teaches us to trust God. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, when we go through trials and we allow contentment to be there and we have patience and perseverance building hope on the inside, remember, hope is from the love of God. We looked at that, Romans chapter 5. Then when we allow that to happen, what ends up happening is you and I will realize that God now is my helper, and no matter what I'm going through, people cannot hurt me. And this is where God wants to get every believer. Well, non-believers deal with the same thing. They just don't have the answer. But if we have the answer and don't take the answer and do something with it, who do you think is guilty of the worst thing? The ones who knew it. But the whole world deals with this. The whole world thinks everybody's their enemy. But even people, non-Christian organizations that teach people positive attitude and how to achieve their dreams, how to achieve their goals, will tell you the same things. They won't use scriptures necessarily. They might throw one in here or there. They may quote Socrates or somebody else. But the principle is the same. People are not your enemy. People really will help you to achieve your dreams and your goals. You just need to learn how to deal with them because, listen, people can be a problem. They can. But people are also the greatest joy you'll ever have in this life. So the choice is ours, what we want to do when we go through things, whether we're going to obtain ultimate joy from the relationships we have or pain. And the choice is ours. I hope this makes sense to you tonight. And you know, I wasn't meaning to talk so much about relationships, but that's really where it pans out. Because we need to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Because any test or trial that we go through is in some way, directly or indirectly, involving a person. Would you agree with that? All right? Because people rule the world. And that's just how it is. That's how God set it up. So whether directly or indirectly, every challenge, every obstacle, every trial that you're going through involves people. All right? While we're waiting with contentment, you and I will need to fight the fight of faith. Think about it. If you never had to use faith and fight, then what's the fight? I mean, what do we think? Well, by faith, I just get everything I want and nothing ever challenges me. That's not faith. That's just 2 years old and wanting everybody to do something for you. That's all that is. mine. You see what I'm saying? Okay? Some of us stay 2 years old emotionally our whole lives. I am serious. Mine, what they did and this and that. Well, you're not two anymore. Would you change your diaper and get up off the floor? So change your own diaper. You need to change your own diaper because you are too old for somebody to be changing you. All right? That's the one thing. I mean, all diapers have something in common. The older you are, the bigger the problem. Hello. All right. It's true. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Patience and perseverance are necessary. We need both of those. The only way to get perseverance is to wait patiently for a long period of time with the right attitude. Then you will persevere and you will succeed. Patiently waiting with the right attitude. Because I've seen people that can wait, but their attitude stinks. Are you with me? You need both. Can't just wait and wait and wait. Okay, you've been waiting 30 years. And I'm not trying to insult or hurt anybody tonight. But listen, if we want to grow up and become spiritually mature, we've got to get to a place where we start to hear God's voice in all the trials, in all the challenges. I mean, we have the answers that the world is looking for, and we can't take it to them because we don't understand it ourselves. And the only way we're going to understand it is to really start to walk in maturity so we can hear God's voice, and now we can take this freedom that we say we have, come on somebody, and start to give it out to other people because we hear God's voice. I don't care how crappy my life may seem. I am ready to hear God's voice and ready to give out to somebody else. And that's what spiritual maturity is. The Lord is my helper. Because the thing is, persevering and waiting patiently, like I said, for a long period of time with the right attitude will bring success. But the problem is, sometimes weeks turn into months, months turn into years, years turn into decades, you know. That's just how it is. See, Joseph's first trial lasted approximately 13 years, with at least 2 years of that in prison. 13 years from the time he had this dream. Remember that his brothers hated him? Are you with me? 13 years. Because we're about to the point where we'll start to talk next week or the week after about where Joseph gets out of prison. All right? So he was in approximately 2 years. But 13 years, he had been believing God's word in the midst of feeling like God had forgotten him. I mean, it was a situation that was really hard. How about David, King David? He waited 13 years approximately to become king. Well, Saul was persecuting him. And we'll take a look at David at some point probably in this series. 13 years. While God started to raise up an army around him. And he was persecuted relentlessly by Saul. Abraham, we've looked at his life. 25 years he waited to have the son that God promised to him. From the time that God said, "You will have a son," all right, from you and Sarah. 25 years. Moses waited 40 years. How many remember that? 40 years! Out on the backside of a desert, God was preparing him to lead the greatest exodus ever. You cannot get character by someone laying hands on you and praying. And that's what we think. Well, we come down and we'll get, "Pastor, pray for me. I need character." Okay, Lord, give him something to go through for the next 10 years. I mean, what? Okay? Do you want more? I mean, that is really all I could pray in faith. Are you? I love you, okay? I'm not going to lie to you. You can't pray a prayer like that. Well, you could, but it'd be kind of, yeah. Then we'd have to shoot you in the head. I mean, okay, your life is over. Goodbye. And then they'd arrest me, and I couldn't pastor anymore. That wouldn't be any good. See, character is something that has to be developed. You need character to get to where God is taking you. You can't get there from here. God knows the way. And Jesus said that. He says, you know the way to go where I'm going. This is the way. Dying to ourselves, letting God build character in us amongst the trials, amongst the obstacles. And because there's going to be spiritual warfare, listen, you're going to have to fight for this. You must endure. If we don't endure and fight the good fight of faith, we will not be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy that he has in store for us. You know, I mentioned earlier when you pray for your adult children, especially, you think, oh, Lord, I just wish they didn't have to go through that when they go through a trial in adulthood. But, you know, again, the Lord assured me, look, for them to be able to achieve success and for me to move in their lives, they have to go through these things. All right? And God speaks to me the same way for a congregation. I mean, that's really, you know, what pastor is like, I'm Dad Tony. You call me Papa. No, don't call me that. As soon as I said that, I know Mark right here, Tony's going, I know, I'm going to call you Papa. I can just see that. See, but you'd be the kind of guy that can run it up here with a diaper on and say, Papa. No, you would. See, I'm planting ideas in his head. But it's the same thing as, look, you know, there's things, and y'all, we pray over you and pray that God would open up your eyes of understanding, that you would see the hope of your calling and the riches of an inheritance and all the things that he has for you. But, you know, we can't remove the obstacles, some of them, because we need to have character built on the inside of us so we can get to where God wants us. And what God has spoken to me before, I think I shared this maybe a couple weeks ago, I don't remember, that so many times we just want, okay, let's say we need some money for something. We'll just use that because all of us understand money. And you say, Lord, I need $1,000. All right? So give me that $1,000. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen. And we pray that. And we're nervous, all right? And we're anxious. Do you realize, and this is the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, if I gave you that right now, all I would do was be pushing your anxiousness into the future. He wants us to deal with that so he can give us more than $1,000. Is anybody with me? If you see a constant theme or a thread of something you face repeatedly, God wants to help you. He wants to build character in you. And until that character is built, you're going to face that thing over and over again. And the only way you can get over it is to say, you know what? I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to act that way anymore. I'm going to stop pouting. I'm going to put my big boy or big girl pants on and get rid of them diapers. I'm going to get prayer. I'm going to talk to somebody. And I'm going to be done with this. In Jesus' name, amen. Whether I get the $1,000 or not, because I know that God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, if I had to, I'd go West Bay, East Bay, pull out a fish, take out the money, and go pay my tax. That's how all pastors pay their taxes, by the way. No. Let me read one more scripture, and we'll have to go. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this is the attitude you got to have, folks, which is but for a moment. Understand, Paul the Apostle was going through more than anything you're going through. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, this is how we should look at trials. What I'm facing right now, it's working out a far more greater and eternal weight of glory on the inside of me. And so, Lord, even though I don't like it and this sucks, I know that you have nothing but good things for me. Therefore, I will not lose heart. I will not give up, and I will not give in to my bad attitude. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to do all, say all, that I've committed to him until that day. One of my life scriptures. I love that scripture. But here in what we just read, it says here, we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. And here's what we think. I've got to leave you with this thought. We think whatever that obstacle is keeping us from what we think it is we want. But you know, not dealing with the obstacle. We want to move the obstacle, but the obstacle is the very thing that will really, the catalyst, if you will, to get you into something you can't even see. Does that make sense to you? We always think, well, if I move that, then I'd have, you know, we think, okay, let's say 1, 2, 3. I'm going to ask, oh, Mike, you come up here. Mike, you stand here. So we got, this is step 1. Step 2 is my problem. Step 3 is what I want. Okay, does that make sense? And so we think that I will move Mike. You can go sit back down. Glad to be the problem. Okay, thank you. Glad to be the problem. Now I get what I want. But you got to realize something, that dealing with that is going to get us to something way down the end we can't even see. We got to understand it, that it's not just moving it, it's dealing with this thing properly. Did I deal with you properly, Mike?
I think so.
Okay, all right, good. Oh, I hope this makes sense to you tonight, because we're going to have to stop there. If you need prayer for anything, Trish and I are going to, is there anyone, do I have a prayer team in here tonight? Or, okay, Debbie, anybody else? Part of the prayer team? Debbie? Okay. Well, not if you guys need prayer or anything, no, we'll be fine. I mean, if you don't, yeah, if you want to go get your mom, that'd be fine. So I'm going to have Nan come in here, Nan and Debbie. They'll be here when we dismiss. And then Trish and I will be around. We'll pray with you. Here's the thing. Or you can just grab someone you're sitting next to. I mean, it's someone that you can go to and trust. That's all. When we say prayer team, it's not because we're special. We know these are people that we can trust, and we know you can trust them. Doesn't mean you can't be trusted, but we've asked them to help. But go to someone you know and be done with this thing. Whatever it is you're facing, settle it with God tonight. Don't let the enemy steal your future from you. All right? Because here, the devil, if he can get you regretting your past or so caught up in fearing the future, you will miss what God has for you today. And all you get is today. You realize that, don't you? It's okay to plan for the future, but don't live fretting about the future. The future may not even get here. Jesus might come tomorrow. And that thing you're fretting about 20 years from now or 10 years from now or 5 years or a year, it may not even ever happen. Live today. Jesus said that. He said, today has enough trouble in it. Don't worry about tomorrow. All right. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God. I thank you for the Word of God, which teaches us and corrects us and helps us in every way. Tonight, Father, I just pray that you would minister. Holy Spirit, come. We call upon your great ministry. How many just want to get past whatever you're facing? Lift your hands up. Say, I'm past this. I'm over this. Yes. Thank you so much for your honesty. Hallelujah. Father, just come tonight. Father, I just pray right now that you would just come and just minister like only you can. Removing this attitude, not the obstacle. We thank you for the obstacle because it's the obstacle that teaches us to hear your voice and teaches us to hear what it is you want to do in us so that we can become all that you want us to be. We commit it under your hand in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here tonight and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, God has got the best plan for your life that you ever could imagine. And the devil will say, well, if you become a Christian, your life, you just can't have any more fun, and God's going to control your life. That is a lie. The one who created you is the one who knows how to set you free, and you'll have more liberty and freedom than you've ever had by accepting his son Jesus as your Savior. And he has a plan for your life that you need to find out about. And if you're here tonight and you say, I want to know, first of all, that I'm on my way to heaven. But listen, the whole package is more than that. Not only are you on your way to heaven, you can have the best life you can imagine right now. And it just takes saying, Jesus, forgive me. I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. And he wants you to serve him. But I'm going to tell you, your life will be better than it's ever been. And it's not about a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts, though. That is not what this thing is. Jesus took care of it, tore the veil down so you could come and worship God face to face. If you're here tonight and you say, I want to pray that prayer, Pastor Tony, would you pray with me? I'm going to count to three. I want to see your hand because I want to give you something that tells you what the Bible says about this topic. 1, 2, 3. Lift your hand. Say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. I want to commit my life to Christ. Everybody saved here? All right. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you still need more prayer, remember our altar team will be here. Nan and